far away stood an old rugged cross.
Church, it's not only our worship team or musicians who encourage us through their singing, but how much you can encourage one another by your singing, right? Have you all been aware of how often a brother or sister, you hear them sing, no matter if they don't sing well, it's just encouraging to hear them. So keep that in mind, family, that you all singing together is an encouragement, and thank you, musicians, for leading us, because the Lord loves to hear good music, but he also wants to hear his children too. So family of God, we now gather under the preaching of God's word. It's kind of a ridiculous thing that we do, honestly, because we want a word from God, but from a weak man. So I confess to you my weakness, and we all come in faith knowing that through weakness, whether it's the weakness of guitars and singing, the weakness of our singing, the weakness of our presence, the weakness of the man talking to you, the Lord is glorified and the Lord is pleased to use the foolishness and the weakness of preaching to make himself glorified, because God has revealed himself in the weakness of Jesus Christ to show his glory, right? And so what we do is wonderfully ridiculous and strange, but the glory of God is in it. And so we stand in faith that the Lord has something for us today through the foolishness of preaching. Unless you think I'm being insulting, those are the words of Paul. So let us now focus our mind and let us just take a minute to resolve in our hearts to hear from what our Father has for us today in prayer. So let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today. You have things for us to learn, but ultimately you have things for us to take in, and not only in our heads, but in our hearts, in the deep recesses of ourselves, so that we might be transformed. So Lord, your vision for us is transformation. You want to make us through your Holy Spirit like Christ. So come, Holy Spirit. Be honored and glorified, Father, to make us more and more like Jesus, even in this time today. And we trust you that you are doing your work, and we give this to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we're now 8 days into the new year, and maybe a lot of the optimism of the new year is already worn off. Judging by the laughs, I'm assuming I spoke the truth there. A lot of the optimism about what's about to come has already kind of worn off. It's pretty quick this year, and it's usually about this time anyway. But I think it's an opportune time that as the goals and the optimism of the new year begin to wear off, it is a time in the new year to begin to be a little sober and maybe to look at things more realistically. Because when you set, the beginning of the year is a time to set goals, to think about the future. Maybe you're just now only even looking at the future because you're just still recovering from Christmas. Who knows? But after this time of looking forward into the possibilities of a new year, and when those expectations quickly begin to seem unrealistic, you can make two decisions. One of two decisions. You can then say, forget it. Maybe next year. Or you can take the opportunity to go, okay, I'm going to take this as an opportunity to look at my situation and to be realistic. And so last week we spoke of Jesus giving us a teaching about worry, that as we open up a new year and we begin to look upon the vistas, the possibilities, good or bad, of the coming year, we have to teach ourselves with Jesus and by the power of the Spirit to give those possibilities to God. Because we can either take them or just get rid of them or control them, but ultimately we have to learn how to give them to our Father who loves us, who cares for us, and who says, I will give you what you need right now. But now in this place of more sobriety, when maybe we're not looking forward to the months ahead, whether anxiously or optimistically, but maybe we're kind of looking at our, kind of saying, I don't really want to think about that right now. Maybe I need to assess where I am. And you know what? Jesus helps us to understand and encourages us to evaluate where we are right now. Because, you know, it is good to look into the future, but sometimes when we look into the future and get anxious, it might be an opportunity to say, okay, where am I right now? Or maybe you're in a situation where you've been trying things and making plans for so long, and they've kind of been failing, and there's always been this kind of awkwardness of achieving them. And you're like, man, I just can't seem to make plans. But maybe it's because you actually haven't taken time to evaluate where you are now. You see, the fact of the matter is, family, it's very practical advice. If you want to have a good idea of where you need to go, you really do need to have an idea of where you are. But then how do you test where you are, right? How do you test where you are, particularly spiritually, in your heart of hearts? If you have spiritual goals, if you have personal goals, if you have ambitions for this church or for your life or for your family, it is wisdom to know how to evaluate where you are now. But how do we do that? Well, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, gives us not the only thing, but a way to evaluate where we are right now. It's not merely to do that. There's much more that we'll get to. But in Matthew chapter 6, particularly verses 19 through 21, he gives us a teaching that helps us to sit down and have a sober look at ourselves and where we stand. Some of you have heard this teaching. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But rather, you should do this. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For, and this is the real kicker, wherever your treasure is, there is also your heart. For wherever, and that's where it comes down to, for wherever your treasure is, there is also your heart." If you want a good way to test and to understand where your heart is presently, all you have to do is look where your treasure is. And when you find where your treasure is and you're willing to look at it and acknowledge that that's where it is, then you have a sober understanding of where you are, and maybe you can have a good understanding of where you need to go. So, what questions more particularly do we need to ask? Because all this sounds like treasure. What is the treasure? Well, I'll prove this later, but treasure really comes down to two things, and I think it's proven in the text. What is our treasure? Your treasure either comes down to your praise or your prosperity. Your praise or your prosperity. So if you want to know, if you want to ask yourself two major questions about where your treasure is, you need to ask yourself, where do I get my praise? Where do I get my prosperity? And those are like the basic two points. Where do I get my praise? And where do I get my prosperity? Where do I get my praise? And where do I get my prosperity? Now Jesus says, "For wherever your treasure is, there is also your heart." But let's discuss at least for a second what Jesus means by the heart. What is the heart? Now, when we talk about the heart, what do we typically think? We talk about heart in with reference to romance and feelings and affections and deep emotions, right? Well, that's not how Jesus and the Bible talks about the heart. You know that? When they talked about deep affections, love, romance, compassion, they used images around the belly. And frankly, that's actually more accurate because that's what you feel, right? When you have those deep emotions, you feel them right here. So in the ancient world and in the Bible, when they talk about deep affections, they talk about the belly. But when they talk about the heart, what are they talking about? They're talking about the very core of who you are. It's not just your feelings, your affections. It's the very core of who you are. And we kind of use the word heart like this now, don't we? Let's get to the heart of the issue. What's the heart of the matter? What's at the very heart of yourself, right? It's like the core, right? Which actually is related to the Latin word for heart, which is core, without an E, but nonetheless, that's a bit etymology geekdom there. Okay, moving on. So, the core of who you are. That's the heart. Wherever your treasure is, there is also the core of who you are. Another way of saying it is wherever your treasure is, there you will find what you have resolved to be. The person that you have resolved to be, whether you know it or not. Again, wherever your treasure is, there you will find the person you have resolved to be, whether you know it or not. Wow. So when Jesus talks about treasure, he really is talking about your basic self. The core of who you are. And the core of who you are really comes down to two major things. Where do you find your praise? And where do you find your prosperity? But Cody, okay, where do you get this? Where do you get your praise? Well, when Jesus talks about storing up your treasures, he's actually been talking about things beforehand, right? Now, have you ever stepped into a conversation and you didn't know what they were talking about? Or maybe you've woken up in the middle of a sermon and says, what's he talking about now? There's a little too much laughter there. Yikes. But if you ever stepped into a conversation and you don't know what's going on and you really want to know what they're saying, what do you do? Hey, can we back up for a second and tell me what y'all have been talking about so I can understand what you're talking about now? Well, the same kind of goes with the Bible. If you want to know what a passage in the Bible is saying, it's a good idea to step back a little bit to see what he was talking about, and that could give you some indication about what he's talking about now. Okay? So, what has Jesus been talking about before he talks about storing up your treasures in heaven? Well, throughout chapter 6, Jesus has been talking about what he called practicing righteousness. Now, he uses righteousness in a different way than Paul. Righteousness means like righteous deeds, like religious deeds that are outward, okay? And he says, and he starts off chapter 6 by saying, hey, everybody, don't practice your righteousness so that you could be seen by other people. But rather, in order to be seen by your Father in heaven. And then he gives three examples, right? The 3 points to a sermon. You know, and the first thing he talks about is almsgiving, right? And almsgiving is like the closest thing we have is like to tithe, except almsgiving was much more for like mercy giving. That was the stuff on top of your tithe, okay? And particularly for those in need. And so those who gave almsgiving were really righteous people. They gave extra for those in need or for special projects. And so he says, okay, don't be like the Pharisees or the hypocrites. He used the word hypocrites, actually. Don't be like hypocrites who, when they give to the needy, when they give their alms, they sound a trumpet and make it known to everybody that what they're doing, right? They give to somebody or they give money away and they find a way to make it known. A modern equivalent today is, man, don't be like the hypocrites when they give their money, they post it on their Twitter and their Facebook and look at how much money they've given so that they can get praise from other people. Now, there are other more noble ways to do that, so, okay. But don't sound off that you've done that. Rather, he says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. That is, it's kind of a hyperbolic, a very big way of just saying, hey, half of your body shouldn't be knowing what the other one is doing because you gave out of compassion, not out of an announcement of how good you are. And then he also says something interesting. He says, those people who announce with the trumpet how good, how merciful, how generous, supposedly, they are, Jesus says, you know what? They've already received their reward. That is, they've already received their wages. That's the actual word he uses. They've received their wages. They made an investment in the praise of people, and guess what? They got a kickback. But rather you, Jesus says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. If you give, give out of real compassion. Now, of course, does that mean all of your mercy giving, if your motives weren't perfectly pure, they're invalid? No, please do give to the needy, all right? But however, we're always working toward that place where all we want is not the praise of people, but the praise of who? Our Father. And he says, your heavenly Father will reward you. And what's the reward? Well, in the context, it's what? His commendation, his praise, his well done, right? He gives another example, prayer. He says, man, don't be like the hypocrites. When they pray, they stand up in the middle, they cinch up their belts or whatever, and they make themselves known, and they want to say the most eloquent prayers so that other people can say, oh my, how godly you are. That was such a good prayer. Preachers can be like that too. That was such a great sermon, preacher. Now, encouragement is always welcome, folks, just so you know. But however, preachers can often do this too. That was such wonder. How godly you are. Don't be like them, Jesus says. And if you are, I guess what? You've already made your investment. You're already getting back your reward. But rather, when you pray, go in the door, go in a closet, shut the door, pray to your Father who sees in secret, and he will reward you. Again, what's the reward? His commendation, his well done. And then the third thing, fasting. I'm making the point here, as Jesus does. He says, wow, don't be like the hypocrites who, when they fast, he's talking about almsgiving, prayer and fasting, like the big three of how to be a righteous, godly person. When you fast, don't be like hypocrites who disfigure their face. We assume there's something like they put ashes on them. They probably mess up their hair. They don't tuck in their shirts, and they walk around like, oh my goodness. Don't be like them so that all the world can know that they're fasting. They've received their reward by people looking at them and saying, oh, they're so godly. Look at how they're suffering. But rather, when you fast, and again, hear that, when you fast, he says, anoint your head with oil, wash your face. Basically, take a shower, clean yourself up. And then your Father will know that you are fasting, and he will see in secret, and he will reward you. What's the point that he's been making over and over again? Do you get your praise from people, or do you get it from God? Do you get your praise from people, or do you get it from God? And then immediately he goes into, don't store up your treasures on earth. Oh, so what are these treasures? One of these treasures that we do are the praises of other people. We store up commendations from other people. We store them up like little treasures. What somebody has said to me, what these good deeds that I've done that people look at and think that are awesome. Not to say the good deeds are bad. They're not, obviously. But we store them up for the commendation, and we amass all of these things. We put it in a big closet or in a big safe. All these commendations that other people have given us. And Jesus says, if that is what you're doing, you're amassing all these commendations from other people because of your righteousness, you are making a bad investment. It's akin to taking a bunch of gold and or a bunch of like money, paper money, throwing it in a safe, but there's a big hole in the back that rats and moths can get into. And you think it's safe, but you're going to open it up one day and you're going to see all the moths have eaten it up. And then the rats have eaten it. Matter of fact, in the real word that we translate rust, it's kind of odd that we do that, but the word is actually not for rust. The word is for eating. Basically, don't store up your treasures where moth and eating things destroy it. So it's like mice and vermin. Don't store up your treasures where it can be eaten by, by mice. Haven't you ever opened up your pantry? I have, unfortunately, not in this house, thankfully, but have you opened up your pantry and then found there was like a bag of sugar or like a certain bag of snacks that had a little hole at the end of it, and you noticed a little less was missing, and then you looked at the ground and found these little brown pellets? Have you ever noticed that? Has that ever happened to you? If that's never happened to you, good job. You have a very clean home, and that's awesome. Unfortunately, that's happened to me before. And you go, oh, you realize that you've stored food in a place where mice and vermin can get in, and they start eating at it. But Jesus says that when you are living your life merely to store up commendations from other people, oh, you're wonderful for your righteousness, for all of your good deeds, whether individually or collectively as a church, he says you're making a bad investment. You're throwing all of your money in a place where mice and moths are going to get in and eat it. It's a bad investment. So where are you getting your praise? When you get up in the morning, are you more eager to achieve the praises of others, commendations from others about how wonderful you are, all the things that you've done? Are you more eager, or all the things that you're a part of? Now, in one sense, it's okay to want to be blessed by people. And please, everybody, all the church, there is such a thing as the ministry of encouragement, okay? So, not denying those things, but nevertheless, understanding that so many of us live under this constant need to be commended. And there's a lot of reasons for that, whether hurt in the past or whatever, but we often have this desire to be affirmed and commended, to amass all of these commendations in the world. And Jesus just frankly tells you, that's a bad investment. Is that what you get up in the morning to get? If you can get up and from an honest look at yourself, and this is a painful thing, this is a painful question you ask yourself. But if you get up in the morning and you realize, yeah, like really at the end of the day, that's what I'm after, that's what I'm chasing, then Jesus looks at you right in the eye, but yet with the love of the Father coming out of him, because he is the revelation of the heart of the Father, and he looks at you and says, stop investing in that. Change your investment. Why don't you just take that investment and put it in stores in heaven, into the things that your Father sees in secret, and he will reward you. Do you want to make a change? For many of you, some of you are like, yeah, I may need to make that change. But Cody, that's just who I am. That's just, you know, I just, I want to succeed. Jesus kind of looks at you and says, hey, I've been around since the foundation of the world. None of you all are too old to change. None of you are too young to change. I'm young, I don't know, I need to make a few mistakes. Jesus says, do you want to purposefully be that foolish? Or do you really want to make a change and have me walk with you in it? Family of God, Jesus, with the love of the Father, is all looking at us in the eye and saying, where is your heart? Is your heart invested in things that will last? Or is your heart invested in things that are going to perish, like food in an open pantry with full of mice? Where are you getting your praise? And I feel the need to say this. A lot of us we ought to live a life that praises God. But nevertheless, we were created, like children were, to receive a commendation from our Father. Now, he doesn't say you're the best thing in the world, maybe, or we are certainly not saviors or glorious. But there is a sense, and that's a good desire, to want the commendation of your Father, to say, well done, my son. Well done, my little one. Yes, we give praise to God. But just like Jesus, when he was baptized, what did he hear? This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And every single one of us was created to hear that in Jesus Christ. And that truth, you are my beloved Son, you are my beloved daughter, is yours in Jesus Christ. If you receive him by faith, that word is yours. Where are you finding your praise? Will you trust your Father and to say that he actually wants to give it? In Jesus Christ, if you cling to him, that is yours and your Father wants to give it. Where are you getting your praise? More quickly now, when you want to know where your heart is, where are you getting your praise? Where else are you getting your prosperity? And after Jesus talks about treasures, and he talks about the lamp of the body and serving God and money, he talks about what we discussed last week, anxiety, and how you're obsessing over your daily needs. And so that's an indicator that, oh, Jesus is putting this whole context, this discussion about treasures in the middle of this discussion about where I get my praise and where I get my prosperity. Ah. So where is your heart? Are you finding it in the praise of others? Or maybe you've let that go and your heart is all in amassing security. And you are like that anxious person that Jesus talks about, obsessed over your daily living, your clothes. Not that you don't have everything you need, but you have a closet full of clothes, but yet you need more to feel more secure. You have a fridge full of food, but yet you need a freezer and then another freezer. You have a savings account of 3 months' expenses, which is a very good idea, by the way, but no, I need 3 more months and 3 more months and 3 more months and 3 more months. I need to amass all of these things because you're obsessing over security. Jesus says that yes, you ought to take care of yourself, but if you find yourself obsessing over the securities of life, you are making a bad investment. We all know how quickly amassed wealth can go away like that. We all know how in this world you can think something will succeed and you invest in it monetarily and then all of a sudden it's gone or compromised. Or now costs more money to keep alive than is making you money. And so is that where your heart is? Is your heart in that place of always amassing prosperity? That is always adding more and more and more to your security because, God forbid, you actually rest and be at peace in what God has given you right now. But for those of us who are in that situation, the Lord Jesus, with the love of the Father, looks at us in the eye and says, is that an investment you want to make? Do you want to keep making that investment? Do you want to keep amassing security when ultimately life is insecure? Or do you want to trust me and trust what I give you? Yeah, there's some things we need to be responsible with for many of us. Maybe some of us need to build up our savings a little bit more. But nevertheless, Jesus looks at you in the eye and invites you into a lifetime of trust. Let's walk with me now, and let's do this thing called life together, trusting. Trusting me and I providing. Even if I provide not what you expect, I provide everything that you need and even more than what you want. And so, family of God, when Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also, he's forcing us to ask these two questions. Where is our praise? Are we getting it from people, or are we seeking the commendation from our Father that in Jesus Christ loves us more than we could ever dream? Or where is our prosperity? Are we working to the bone to amass ourselves a feeling of security? Or are we going to now resolve to trust in our Father who loves us and who desires to care for us? Are we willing to keep making the bad investment? We may get a reward right now, because Jesus says, sometimes it helps you, right? Well, Cody, it's kind of worked for me. Jesus says, yeah, it may work for you right now. Those Pharisees who get commendations from other people, it's working for them. But it's just like a bad investment. It may work for you now, but down the line, Jesus says, you're going to open up that safe and you're going to realize it's all been eaten up. Are you willing to take that chance? It's not really a chance. Are you willing to take that? To take that bad investment? Or are you willing to trust me and make the good investment? Now, in closing, family of God, these are hard questions to ask yourself, and that's not bad. But here is maybe the balm that maybe makes, that can take that difficulty and bring hope and healing to it. And it's this. Why does God want you to ask the question, where are you getting your praise? Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Father is ready to say, well done. But I haven't done anything. Well, yeah, you have. If you believed, you've done it. Right? What does Jesus say? What does Jesus say in that parable of the lost son or the prodigal son, right? There is more rejoicing over one sinner who repents than many righteous. How can you make a resounding commendation come from heaven in the presence of the angels? By just saying, okay, Jesus, here we go. Some of us have lived this Christian life to say that there is the belief in Jesus, and then I'm earning the Father's acceptance and his commendation. I have his condemnation the whole way, but I don't have his commendation until I get rid of all that stuff. The Father's commendation and his praise and his joy, his laughter and his clapping come from the simple act of saying, Jesus, I trust you. Any heart who says, okay, Jesus, I trust you, then the heart of the Father bursts open with joy. The Father's commendation is yours in Jesus Christ. All you have to do is say, okay, Jesus, let's do this. And also the Father's protection, his security, his willingness to say, I got you, is yours. If all of you just say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to take you. And then Jesus looks at you and says, yeah, now I got you. The question is, are you willing to do that? The Father is willing in Jesus Christ because the Lord Jesus has died and rose again. Why? So that you, by the mere open hands of faith, taking Jesus at his word, could receive the commendation of your Father as a true son or daughter of the living God and live as a child under his care and to grow gloriously in that. That's his vision for you. If we really understood that, who would say no to that? So are you going to make the bad investment? Or are you going to resolve even to put that little mustard seed in the safe of all that God sees, of only the things that God sees? And even Jesus says, a little mustard seed has the potential to become really big, really fast. Your Father desires to give you these things in Jesus Christ. If we only just take him at his word. Let us pray. Our Father, I pray that we can take, by the power of your Spirit, we can take Jesus at his word, which is your word, because the Lord Jesus, you are the revelation of the wisdom of the Father. You are the revelation of the heart of the Father. And so, Lord Jesus, help us to accept your words. That, Lord, we don't have to make this bad investment on settling for the praise of others when we can have the commendation of our Father in Jesus. When if we take you in, we have the well done, good and faithful servant. And all we can look forward to is more and more of that as you grow us, as you keep us, as you make us more like Jesus by the power of your Spirit. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've invited us not to make the bad investment in just worrying about all of our essentials, but to rest in your care and your safety, because you desire to take care of us. So, Father, we repent of our seeking to be orphans who refuse the love of the Father and refuse the care of the Father. And Lord, we choose to embrace the status as sons and daughters of the living God, because you, Lord Jesus, have won that for us in your cross, in your resurrection, in your exaltation. And you are not afraid to identify with us and to take us up to yourself, to be like you, to take us up to the Father by the Holy Spirit, so that we may feel more like sons and daughters every day. Help us to receive that, even in small bit today. And we believe that your Spirit is doing the work that he needs to do in our hearts today. Help us now, in Jesus' name, amen.